Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Seven letters detailing the prophetic framework of the return of Christ by Gregory A. Booker offers an engaging exploration of the end of days, the anticipated return of Jesus Christ, by structuring his book into seven distinct chapters, aptly termed as letters. Gregory effectively navigates readers through the implications of the end times for the church, the intricate relationship between the Jewish faith and Christianity, and the pivotal role of Jerusalem in this grand narrative, backed up by scriptural readings and profound research. Gregory studied at DePaul University, received certification and ordination from Ministerial Seminary of America, also studied prophecy. While being a pianist in several churches for over 25 years, his career was in quality assurance for the Department of Defense, receiving a conversion and a calling late in his career. Now retired but rehired by the calling of the Lord, serving him through spiritual writings, Gregory self-titled himself as Minister of the Prophetic Word. And Gregory A. Booker, author of seven letters detailing the prophetic framework of the return of Christ and his inspired writings, is our guest on This Week in America. Gregory, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
This is such an important book, and you've done it so well, and you touched so many people. The reviews have been excellent. Let's start with the title. What is meant by structuring your book by seven letters, the key title for the book, seven letters detailing the prophetic framework of the return of Jesus Christ? Why that? Why seven letters?
You know, I didn't even expect to be writing a book, and it came out in a 4 or 5 page dissertation, basically in letter form. And 3 months later, letter two came, and then letter three, and that process. So I began to see them as letters versus chapters. And that motivated me to ultimately put them in book style, book form. And that overall structure has stayed, and even in some of my reviews, a lot of people acknowledge that is a unique and favorable move for the book.
It really is. The book is easy to follow. The book is seven letters detailing the prophetic framework of the return of Christ and his inspired writings by Gregory A. Booker. Gregory's website is Greg with two G's, G-R-E-G-G, the letter B, the number 4, hope.com, and we'll give you that throughout the program. It's also on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Gregory, why are you wanting to convey your readers in this prophetic-based book? What do you hope to convey to them?
Well, if I was moved today and write it, it just seemed like it had some purpose beyond just me being aware of it. Writing as a career was not something that or journalism, was not something that I was familiar with, and it just began to grow as my life to shine and share with others what I've come to know and feel about this subject, which seems to be, strangely enough, even within Christian circles, controversial, and there's different ideas and what have you. But if I, being a layman for the most part, can study and on scripture and see these kind of realities that the Bible has given me, then I feel others can too. So I'm moved by that to share and to do what I can to help others see as I have been made to see.
Well, you're doing that. The reviews have been excellent for Gregory's book, Seven Letters Detailing the Prophetic Framework of the Return of Christ. The book available wherever books are sold. Again, Gregory's website is Greg, G-R-E-G-G, the number, the letter 4, then the letter B, the number 4, hope.com. Let me do that again. Greg, G-R-E-G-G, B, 4, hope.com. This is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book receiving excellent reviews. They love the way you're presenting it. They love what you're saying. It's a unique approach to talking about the topics that you write about in the book. There are many theologies about the return of Jesus. What do you think sets your book apart? What makes your book different more so than some of the others?
That's a good question, and it's I feel that everything begins with Jesus, and there's a trail, if you will, and the question is even asked of Jesus, when is the sign of that coming and the end of the world? Now, those are two very different visions in themselves, the coming of Christ and the end of the world. So beginning there, Jesus makes a reference to about certain things that will happen. And if you begin there, you can begin to see the power of God's word working. And so from that, the words are 2,000 years old, but the hope is just as fresh as yesterday. So, I feel that that beginning with him is critical to truly understanding who's the author and finisher of our faith, and the one who, you know, he's the spirit of prophecy. There are other ideologies that seem to not dwell on what Jesus said, but other areas of scripture, and while they may be true, they don't seem to pinpoint the true cause of it. So I begin with Jesus.
Our guest is Gregor.
In that sense,
yeah, I'm sorry. Finish that thought, please.
Yeah. So, I have found that to give me the most clarity on a very controversial sometimes subject, and it brings me peace.
And well, it should, because you are helping so many people, sharing the message that you had, the message that you received, and now sharing with people. Gregory A. Booker is our guest on the program. The book is Seven Letters Detailing the Prophetic Framework of the Return of Christ. Book available wherever books are sold. I'll give you Greg's website as we go through. What is your relationship now in the church?
I'm part of the prayer ministry and my attend church in El Paso. And right now I'm more or less in a retired mode and provide assistance where needed.
Yes.
When and where needed. Before COVID came, I was actively involved in the music aspect of it as a praise and worship participant or leader. And, as of now, I am just sharing in my faith among my pastor as well as others. And I will say there's a kind of a lack of knowledge that is in a general community of churches. And part of this book comes from actually taking the knowledge I have and going into the house of the Lord and sharing ideas, only to find them not well received. Sometimes it's around Israel, about Israel. There's ideas that Jesus isn't coming physically, but more spiritually. And so I ran into much of these other views that really caused me to see it differently, really based on the fact that we have the return of Israel. One of my mentors, by the way, Rick, is Hal Lindsey. Remember that
yeah.
guy?
Oh, yes, yes. Remember it well. I can see.
And he wrote a book called, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can see his picture when you mentioned that. I could see a picture of him on television.
Oh, is that right? Well, he wrote, the late great Planet Earth and created quite a stir. And many churches kind of perked up and started listening and seeing the physical restoration of Israel as a literal fact. And I still follow that train of thought in a real sense, because Jesus was very real in his first coming. And all the events that happened around him were very real. And it had a tragic end, but it gave God the opportunity to demonstrate the power of him, of the act of resurrection. And sometimes we don't really dwell on that real fact. It's only one time in the history of man. But it's like a mustard seed that has bloomed and bloomed quite well. Now you look at the Christian institution, and they say it's close to 2 billion participants, including Roman Catholicism and Protestant branches and several others as well. But there are differences among many of these groups that kind of dwelled away from the literal content of what Scripture has to say about the return of Israel. And that becomes the common theme. How do you view that restoration? Is it real? Is it coincident? Or is it following the word of Scripture? And the book takes that line of thought, and based on the seven signs or seven unique things that I see in world drama, so to speak, and the letters were actually written between 1991 and 1995.
Interesting.
And it is. And while I had noted a trend that would be quite revealing as to the season that we're living in, the trends are beginning to take their impact now. And I always felt that when I first wrote the letters, that it would be something yet to come, but come it will. And so, just as you said, the word interesting, it is a very interesting concept or even approach, because it's not something that I really anticipated. From the standpoint of knowing it before I started writing, it's when I started writing that I began to see with clarity, and studying Scripture and studying some of the Hal Lindsey books and Tim LaHaye and other writers of the day back then. And I just stayed with that vision, and here we are now. And the Middle East is full of tension, and it's kind of ironic how so much in Scripture is being fulfilled.
Yes.
Despite unbelief.
It really is.
The book and it's written with that context in mind.
Well, let's talk about...
Despite unbelief.
Well, yeah. The book is so well written. I want to ask you, do you follow a certain dominational doctrine in the book, Seven Letters?
Not really. It's an independent study. I'm a Baptist by birth. Through my parents. They went to a Baptist church, and that's when I first accepted Jesus. But I did, I grew up in straight and wine, women, and songs, so to speak. And
yes.
It wasn't until my 30s or 40s that I began to revisit Scripture. And a lot of it had to do with some of the earlier readings that were put out by Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and Vernon McGee and other writers. And I just kept seeing this tension in the Middle East. It never seemed to go away. And now I read it with a, you know, I study it with a far more intentional mindset. It's as if the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of me and told me to come and see.
Well,
and so I came and see, and it moved me to write.
Well, it's interesting. In fact, you asked that question in the beginning of the book. I have often asked the question, why me, O Lord? Why am I given such divine insight concerning the mysteries of your word and am so compelled to reveal them to all? Do you ever find an answer for that, why you seem to have been chosen for this assignment?
Well, I think it has to be that I had some questions that, you know, it says, seek, if you want wisdom, seek and ye shall find, knock, and the door shall be answered. And I had a way of asking questions. I, you know, in my studies, the term God chosen people was a term that seemed to be paradoxical. They're his chosen people, but they look, well, they look very much controversial as well in their behavior and attitude, and it just seemed so perplexing to me, and I tried to understand, if they're his chosen people, why are, you know, why are they what we see now? And then I had another question that involved that they were tested, and yet the Gentiles weren't, or nobody else were tested. The Jews were tested, but not so much the African or the Eskimo. Or the, it just left me perplexed as to why they get the test. You know, Jesus said he comes to try them for their sin, but nobody else gets that test as well.
Yes.
And I try to study, you know, I study scripture to with that in mind, and it was like, come and see. And I'm convinced now that through their blood, sweat, and tears, I see how God has used the nation of Israel and throughout all the Old Testament to be an example for all of us, through the, not through their successes, but even through their failures. And while they crucified him, we get to see the resurrection without trial, without tests, without having a, my voice, without having a similar episode. And I think because of the questions that I asked, I began to get, it's as if I was asking the questions to know. And sometimes you don't get an answer if you don't ask the right question, you know?
Yes.
Just like in classroom, right?
Yes.
Everybody's waiting for somebody to ask a question nobody else want to ask because it doesn't make sense, or it might be stupid, or whatever it might be. But that's the very question everybody else needs to know, you know?
And they're hoping there's somebody like you there, yeah, to ask that question. And for many people, I get that sense as they read the book, Seven Letters, detailing the prophetic framework of the return of Christ, that they have questions as well, and for whatever reason, didn't really ask them. Now they're taking advantage of your book and your thought and your writing to get answers and make things a little more accessible for them. In fact, they talk about how you take these complex concepts regarding the return of Christ and make them more understandable, more relatable in their lives as to what's happening. I've got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk now, focus on the whole aspect of prophecy. You say, I strive to build a prophetic ministry wherever I go. Such ministries are not as present as they should be. However, I feel it is needed in so many churches to revive them again. Tell me about the power of prophecy and why that's so meaningful for you and who you are as a believer.
Well, I saw the same hope for Israel in Christ's first coming. How, you know, when you really add time to your review, for instance, from Moses to Jesus is almost 1,400 years. That's a long time to be waiting for a Messiah. And yet it was accomplished. The waiting survived those many years. And I'm constantly being aware of the amount of time from one episode to another. And I understand that, you know, from a prophetic standpoint, you could say the prophet, the Old Testament prophet could say something now, but it doesn't really begin to fulfill itself until two or three generations later, because God's eternal. We're not, but he is. And so I begin to see how his prophecy survived the generations and kept them alive with hope. And even to this day, here we are 2,000 years since the crucifixion and the resurrection, and we still have hope. And I try to grab hold of that reality, and the book does a great job of that. I feel I'm being led by the Spirit to reveal that hope, to keep the hope alive, that actually gives us revival time and time again. Because ultimately, it's about a new day. It's about no more death, no more sickness. And we do have the kind of peace we all strive for. And this is something that has really kept the Christian faith alive and ever present like no other.
Yes.
Religion, if you will, on the earth. And yet it's only one event. And it shows the power of God to do something and to make it work.
Yes.
It's not a magic. It's got a, you know, it's, we've all been to funerals and we've seen how the end really comes in that sense. But in this man named Jesus, it was a totally different view of things. And the disciples saw it, and the Lord magnified it before their eyes and made them to write down with incredible mindset and determination to believe against all kinds of odds. I mean, they had Roman spears in their backs. They had
yes.
the threat of the cross in their day. We've got it good now.
Yeah.
And we seem to be distracted by so many other. Instead of seeing the 2,000 years as the power of prophecy at work, many have abandoned it. So this is an effort to, this book focuses on reviving, and because it revived me.
Well, you
and
share that.
Share that reality. And we have to remember, you know, I'm not giving any dates or time, but I am reviving the reality. There's enough out there to revive the reality of what we have to watch, like Jesus said, to watch.
Well, you bring that reality, you bring that wisdom to the readers in the book, Seven Letters Detailing the Prophetic Framework of the Return of Jesus Christ and His Inspired Writings by Gregory A. Booker. And I understand this is what a combination of this book, Seven Letters Detailing the Prophetic Framework of the Return of Christ, and what another book that you had written, Inspired Writings. So both of those are in this edition of the book, as I understand.
Right. I merged them together, and it's been kind of cumbersome, but it works.
Okay, it does work.
The inspired writings actually came after the Seven Letters in an effort to explain more clearly the gift of prophecy.
Yes.
I really believe that I am motivated. If someone wants to categorize my experience, I would say I'm operating the gift for prophecy is given to us in Corinthians by the Holy Spirit to administer, not my church, not your church, but God's church. And I think he's ready to sound the horn. And the events that are happening in the Middle East are just, it's not a matter of winning the battle, it's a matter of recognizing it for what it is. There's defiance in the world from a Christian perspective. And this is something. Unbelief is one thing, but defiance is another. And I think we've just, the trend has just kept getting not better, but worse.
Yes.
And that trend is, as a quality assurance guy, I think even my work played a little bit in it.
Well, it sounds,
I was always measuring trends and trying to determine the probability of success or failure in a given product based on those trends. And so as an auditor, I kind of did the same thing looking at the scripture. The seven signs shows a trend. Seven signs is just like a prophetic framework. Is a term meant to, you know, when you have a frame and it allows you to put a variety of pictures in it?
Oh, yes, yes.
And those pictures shows various stages of the family that you may be having that you would like to highlight.
Interesting.
And so you get a quick caption of who you're showing. And how they fit in your family life.
Yes.
Well, these seven signs are kind of like that. These are seven unique signs that are biblically based, and they seem to have a high indication or probability of events that could occur in our generation.
And they are being so well received. And again, you've got this book and then the second book written by Gregory, Inspired Writings, all in one. We're seeing a picture on the video of this, and you can find the YouTube version by going to our website or just Googling it with Gregory and his wife sitting in a Barnes & Noble, as I understand, having a book signing there. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. I want to thank the publisher Prominent Books, LLC, for arranging our conversation with Gregory today and remind you his website is Greg, G-R-E-G-G, the letter B, the number 4, hope.com, gregforhope.com. That's on our website as well. So if you go to our website, you'll be able to directly go to Gregory's website, get information, order the book there as well. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Gregory, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing this very important message with us. A pleasure having you with us. Gregory A. Booker is our guest on the program. His book is available wherever books are sold. His website, Greg, G-R-E-G-G, B4, the letter B, the number 4, hope.com. And all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.